Thank you, Lord. Sunday morning, 7:18:21. This is a teaching called Weary Warriors. Weary Warriors. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. This is what it means, out of the strong's weary, to be weak, to fail in heart. The first initial words I heard, and we'll look at that too, the words were sorrow not. Sorrow not. 2 Thessalonians 3:13 says, but ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing. These are the words that the Lord said to me. He said to sorrow not. Don't be weary in well-doing. Okay, we'll turn to these. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13. Well, I will not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Can you imagine? I was trying to picture it. Here we are, the Lord's coming, and people are rising up out of the graves all around us. Because the angel said they're going to gather from the four corners of the earth, which we'll look at that in a minute. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. See, he's coming in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. This is where I believe the change takes place. Doesn't say about going back anywhere. It just says he's coming and we're all going to meet him. The dead are coming out of the graves. Because you know what? Death can't hold him anymore. Because he reigns. Death can't hold him. Or us. All right. When we see him, we shall be like him. I didn't get that scripture out there, but when we see him, we'll be like him. We have a lot to look forward to. Okay, let's keep going. Revelation 7. I think Obama started the No One Left Behind program. Well, really, I think God started it first. God's not leaving any of his behind. And I don't mean leaving the earth. I'm talking about he knows who are his at his coming. All right, Revelation 7. After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the tree, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. So we'll be sealed. All right. Then, Revelation 21. Because what's going to happen? We're going to see some activity on the earth. Talk about a storm coming. Revelation 21. I saw a new heaven, new earth. For the first heaven, the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. You know why? There's so much blood, so much death, carnage in this earth. I can see why I have a new one. Now John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he saith unto me, Write, for these things, these words are true and faithful. I'm looking forward to that. And he said unto me, It is done. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Well, those that are fearful, unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, liars, they'll all have their part in the lake of fire. It's the second death. That's an eternal death. The second death is the eternal death. Okay. I'm so glad he's going to wipe away all tears. The Christian walk should not be a walk of sorrow. Here's sorrow. It means distress, sadness, grief, heaviness, or just to be sorry. I wish I'd have done that. I wish I'd have done that. Oh, I hadn't done that. Oh, I hadn't done that. God's already wiped that all away. He doesn't remember you did all of that. So quit reminding yourself. Say, shut up. That's that old man that's buried with Christ. That's not me. You know what happens to the person that looks back? If he's plowing a field. He who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is about going forward. Did you know that sheep can't walk backwards? They're called quadrupeds. They follow, but they can't go backwards. But they'll follow whatever's in front of them. Watch Big Daddy's old goat lead those sheep up on those trailers to go to market. You know? All right, the world system can bring all of these things on us, but we may be in this world, but we are not of it. We resist these things that bring us down. It's all distractions to get our focus off of advancing the kingdom. What does God's word say we are supposed to do in these circumstances? Do the opposite of what we're experiencing? It'd be a good rule of thumb. Don't do what the circumstance is trying to get you to do. All right, Acts chapter 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. This did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus to come out of her, and it came out the same hour. When her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace and to the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were loosed. Joy, rejoicing, busted them out of jail. Set them free. All right, I want to read a little bit of scripture here. Nehemiah is the first one. Nehemiah is a cool book. Nehemiah chapter 8. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. Ezra the priest brought the book before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, before the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood Mathathiah and Shema and Ananiah and Urijah and Hilkiah and Maaseiah, on his right hand, on his left hand, Pedaiah, Meshiel, Malchiah and Hashem, Hashbadanah, Zechariah and Meshullam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up of their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And Jeshua and Benaiah and Herbiah and Jamin and Akkub and Shebathiah, Hodijah, Messiah, Kalita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book of the law of God directly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra, the priest of the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept, for they heard the words of the law. And then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our God. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. All right, I'm just going to read a few scriptures to you here on joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. 1 Peter 1, verse 6 says, Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. One scripture in Revelation talks about, when I come, my reward's going to be with me. All right, Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That's not just physical healing. It's talking emotional healing here. Not grieving, being in peace. Okay, Jeremiah 31, 13. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together. For I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them, and will make them rejoice for their sorrow. Can you imagine how happy it's going to be down here? It's just going to be... I mean, everything's going to look different. I mean, just to be... Just think about the struggle you've been through and just the everyday yuck that we've grown accustomed to. A flip. Just the opposite. Everything's like we're going to Disneyland. Just picture it. I can. All right, back to Isaiah 35, verse 10. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. No more frustration. No more weariness. No more sorrowing over those that you've lost. You know what I'm saying? Just no more of that. Okay, Matthew 5:4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Comforted. The force of joy will chase weakness, weariness, distress, sadness, grief, heaviness, and sorrow away. A few more scriptures. Isaiah 51. There's a lot of good Old Testament ones about joy. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and to Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation. For a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, and mine arm shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me, and on mine arm shall they trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment. And they that dwell therein shall die in like manner, but my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Hearken unto me, that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings, for the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord, awake. As in the ancient days and the generations of old, art thou not it that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Art not thou it which hath tried the sea, the waters of the great deep, that hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over? Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Sounds like the place to be. All right, with that, turn to Psalms 30. See, the Lord has already carried grief on his body, where we don't have to grieve, okay? Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Galatians 5:22 talks about joy, the fruit of the Spirit, joy, which we've already looked at that a few weeks ago. It's calm delight. Whatever is going on, you can look at it and say, praise God. Walk in the Spirit, to the fruit of the Spirit, and you will have on the garment of praise, and the Spirit of heaviness will not get you down. So we have to guard against that. That's also an attack of the enemy to bring against you, to get you out. I mean, we look at healing one way, but really grief is the same way. Grief and being upset and being out of sorts and just feeling down and all that kind of stuff, that's all part of the attacks. We have to handle it the same way. Why? It's why he wants our words. He wants us to start speaking stuff that we don't want. But God's not upset with any of us today. He's pleased. And we have to remember that instead of, I just missed it so bad. I just did a, well, get over it. Forgive yourself and get on the business. Quit looking back. Well, back there 40 years ago, I did something I shouldn't have done. So what? Forgiven. They go before the Father and say, well, you know, that so-and-so, I did so-and-so. Jesus goes, you know what they're talking about? No, I don't know what they're talking about. I remember Brother Hagin, this lady come up, and I think she started kind of tuning up, you know, said something about this, what some lady had done to her. He thought it was probably last week, and it was something like, I can't remember, it was years, mega years. And it's going, the devil would just have us beat up with it. You know, and with the world we live in today, with all the offensive type of people that are in the world saying the most awful, horrible things, we ought to stop right when we hear it and say, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Isn't that what Jesus did when they hung him on the cross? Forgive them, Lord. They don't know what they're doing. Anything to keep you from being in peace and maintaining your joy, just don't let him take it. You know, wait a minute, don't stop it yet. Listen now, I've been reading the book of Nehemiah. And in the book of Nehemiah, they went through all kinds of obstacles getting that wall built. One portion says they had a weapon in one hand and they had a trowel in the other hand. So they're trying to guard the wall and work on the wall all at the same time. And some of them didn't even get to sleep. It was like a 24-hour thing that they did. Right here. Ezra accomplished the spiritual establishment of the new community, whereas Nehemiah succeeded in giving it physical stability. When he was in the high position of cupbearer to the king, he learned that the community in Judah was in great affliction and reproach. Thus, he succeeded in having himself appointed governor in Judah with authority and resources to rebuild the city walls. He was a man of skill and daring. He first surveyed the walls at night to avoid detection by those who might oppose the work. Then he assembled a labor force and, dividing the walls into sections, he supervised the building process. The project was completed in the remarkably short time of 52 days. During this endeavor, he faced determined opposition, mockery, and armed raids, a ruse to draw him outside the city without doubt to murder him, blackmail, and finally a prophet hired to foretell his death. In every case, he met the challenge with courage, wisdom, and invincible determination to complete the task for which God had called him. After the walls completed, he took measures to increase the population of Jerusalem and to correct social, economic, and religious abuses. The deep piety of Nehemiah is evidenced by his prayers and strong conviction to personally accomplish the task for which God had called him. His combined work with Ezra united the nation and gave them a unique identity in such a way as to preserve the people of God, the oracles of God, and the promises of redemption in the light of that day when God would fulfill all that the old covenant hopes and desires in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So, I mean, he had insurmountable obstacles. But he's the one that said, the joy of the Lord is your strength and stronghold.